So are we spoiling our children with material goods, you know, giving them all these things, showing our love through the wealth that we have? And can it do damage to our children? And yeah, the goodie bag scenario, birthday parties can be very competitive. We were saying earlier about it showing the love for your child, but I think it's also, in some cases, it's about parents saying to other parents, look what we have, look what we can do for our child. And yeah, the most extravagant goodie bag, well, we've got one here. Goodness. Yeah, Junior Juicy Couture personalised tracksuits with the children's names embroidered on the jacket top for 10-year-old girls. That was in a goodie bag at a children's party. I told you I wanted to be a child again. How wonderful is that? Or
is
it?
There's one that was topped, actually. A second text came in. I don't know if you can see
that. Oh, yes, from Kathy.
Yeah, a child in my nursery class had a catered party at the Bourjol Arab, plus every child got a monogrammed beach robe from Harvey Nichols.
Wow.
Can you imagine? We're missing out, Suzanne.
Tell me about it.
To our era?
Exactly.
I mean, the crayon, really?
The crayon, the lolly, yeah, the piece of cake. That was it, really, rolled up in a little bag. I know.
Stuffed in the plastic bag.
Goodness me. Incredible what children are enjoying, exposed to, experiencing at this age. Now, you know, all good stuff, but is it? I don't know. Are we spoiling our children?
One of the most important things to consider is if you're constantly providing your child with every single thing that they want, they have absolutely nothing that they desire. You know, this constant just feeding in every single thing that they want creates this very unrealistic expectation for what this child will turn out to be like as an adult. Because you know what? Realistically, you can't always have what you want.
I totally agree, but you know, if you are very wealthy and this is the world you live in, isn't it the case that you're always going to mix in those circles and there's always going to be that wealth? I don't know, but it's an interesting one, depending where you're coming from, how you perceive, because I certainly know people that have a lot of wealth, but they wouldn't be giving those kind of goodie bags away at their party because they would deem that to be ostentatious, possibly. You know, it's not right or wrong. It's about, you know, the individual. But it's just interesting to explore these notions of what you are saying to your children, what signals you're sending to them.
Yeah, I think sort of one of the biggest things to consider is this intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. You know, intrinsic motivation is where people do things for a sense of their own pride, a sense of their own accomplishment. They feel a sense of accomplishment because, you know, they're doing it, they're enjoying what they're doing. And when you're looking at external, they receive money, toy, privilege if they do something. The idea is, if you're always rewarding your child with this excessive external motivation, they're never going to know what it feels like to be proud of themselves for the things that they have earned and they have created. As long as you can do that balance and still give out the Juicy Couture, you know, sets, that's absolutely fine. But, and something else to keep in mind is, what is the standard you are setting for the rest of society? How is another parent going to be able to measure up? And what do you do when the children then think it's their right?
What happens when the child whose party it was giving out the nice designer labeled tracksuit embroidered for every child goes to another party and they don't get that? They get the lolly and the piece of cake. You know, what are they going to think about that child? How do they, you know, measure what they believe to be a true friend, success, status, all of those things? It can be very confusing.
And then you're wondering, is this poor child then going to go through all of life with all these disappointments of just nobody ever measuring up? Because the standard is just so high to begin with.
It's really, really,
it's tough, but
it's really a good, very interesting angle to consider, I think, and to work through. So, okay, now you've got some points on if your child, so moving away from the party scenario, but, you know, how to spot a spoiled child, or, you know, what you may see, behaviours happening in your child, in the home, negative behaviours that might think, you know what, have I gone wrong somewhere here? Have I been spoiling them? This is a behavior that you would link to a brattish behavior, if you like.
Absolutely. And, you know, sort of researchers and psychologists are going away from this idea of a spoilt notion to being overindulged. Because you can't really spoil a 6-month old. you can spoil a six-year-old. A six-month-old, when I say that you can't spoil them, you can never give in to enough of their crying. That's what they need. They need that person who's constantly there, dependable all the time. But, you know, three sort of signs that you may be overindulging your child. Think about sort of an instance where you're serving dinner, child doesn't want to eat, what's on the table, you go out to make a special meal. The idea is once or twice is fine. You know, a child doesn't really feel like eating what's on the table. And of course, children with special dietary needs need to be taken into consideration. But the child who's constantly ordering the special food on a daily basis for every single meal is really now beginning to show signs of being overindulged. If a five-year-old misses their meal, it's not going to kill them. And that's one of the biggest things for parents to recognize. You know, no child will ever, you know, die of starvation, so to speak. So it's important that they learn a lesson. Other telltales, a tantrum in sort of a 2 or 3 year old is normal. A manipulative tantrum from an 11 year old is not normal. They have the ability to express themselves. Constantly whining, you know, going off the handle and exploding is inappropriate. And that's something, again, that sort of needs to be harnessed back in. And the last little area to consider is extreme dependence on the parents. You know, you could sort of think of the parenting style of being very smothering. A child can only fall asleep if parent is in the same room, putting them to sleep every single day. Babysitter's not going to cut it. Grandma's not going to cut it. You know, they're throwing a fit when it's time to go to school, time to go to daycare. Any kind of transitions that do not involve the parent, that's a sense of overdependence. That's a sense of my parent is too available. You know, the parent is too available for this child all the time.
Good things to consider, absolutely. And, you know, all good intentions. But actually, I think when you say, you know, overindulged, yes, I get that. But I think the word spoil says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of encompasses everything.
Yeah, as in you're spoiling that person. As in not in a good way, as in it's a negative connotation in they're spoiled, as in they were better before to what they are now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I think a general rule of thumb is if they're capable developmentally of putting themselves to sleep, eating their own foods, regulating their own emotions, which they are at certain ages and stages of their life, allow them to be. You being there to do these functions for them as parents is actually crippling their development. And that is sort of what leads to this spoiled behavior.
Quick, before I let you go, Naima, a message came in here. My five-year-old boy has a highly functioning autism, a very smart but low communication skills, and against and doesn't, you know, go with instruction, goes against instructions. How can I deal with this? It's a big area, this, when we're looking at children with special needs, in this case autism. So for the parent trying to do the best by them, what can they, you know, because to put them into a special program could be costly, what they can do at home to engage the child and to maybe make life for the family a little bit easier.
Yeah. So studies have shown that you can actually, through operant conditioning, which is a type of psychological conditioning where you are strengthening positive behaviors through rewards and weakening behaviors through punishments, rewarding the 1 out of 10 times that this child is able to engage in one word of communication, one sentence of communication, rewarding the child, you know, either materialistically or socially through praise, some kind of acknowledgement, will gradually start to shape their behavior. As the child starts to be more communicative, more expressive, the parent is there in that moment within 5 to 10 seconds, acknowledging and rewarding the child. And the idea is when they're not communicating, not to punish, but to sort of encourage. The beauty, you know, a lot with autism is they are very high intellectually functioning. A lot of the times it's just their social skills, because they haven't been able to develop the theory of mind as full-fledged as a typical developing child. They do need areas, you know, and this parent really has to consider sending this child for therapy. It doesn't have to be, you know, 4 times a week. It could be as little as 2 times a week, but it's absolutely necessary, especially at a young age. You know, it's sort of the first 5 to 7 years are integral to the child's development. If you can at least try and set into place some behaviors, some learning at that point, that will carry on with them for the rest of their lives. parents.
Naima Giovanni, child development psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute, thank you very much for your time today. Your contact details.
Sure, thanks Suzanne. So my email address is naweema.jiwani@hridubai.com, and our telephone number at the Human Relations Institute is 04-365-8498.